Are you ready for some word this morning? Turn your Bibles up back at chapter 2. And we had some mathematical fun today. And everybody said, yes!
Yes.
Yeah. Nothing difficult. Back at chapter 2, this is the chapter we've been going to for some time. Because it's the vision for this church. In verse 1, Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. The Old Testament prophet Habakkuk said, I'm going to go pray and I expect God to speak to me. He said, when he speaks to me, if there be change required on my part. We know this. God doesn't need to change. He's already perfect.
Yes, amen.
He wants us to change. More than just getting born again. That's the greatest change you'll ever know, but God changes your very nature. Then he expects us to get in the Word and develop comprehension and understanding of his Word and his will so we can walk in the fullness of what God did in us when we were born again. When we were saved, God changed your nature from a sinner to that of righteousness.
Yes.
And your desires changed, your awareness of God changed, your desire for things that exist changes.
Yes.
You changed your nature. You went from loving sin, hopefully, to despising sin.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
But he says, now that you've been changed internally, I need you to change mentally, to change how you think. So we go to church, we get in the Word, we listen to messages, watch the right programming or whatever, to renew our minds to the Word of God.
Yes.
It says in Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds by the Word of God.
Yes.
The Word changes how we think, right? And it causes our mind, our soul, to be transformed so it conforms to our spirit, which is already righteous. And once your soul aligns with the Word of God, it'll choose spiritual truth over the lies of the world. And you can get your flesh to line up. So many Christians, people get born again, become a Christian, but they never renew their minds. And because their minds aren't renewed, the flesh still dominates their life. But when you get in the Word and you get in the things of the kingdom, it strengthens your soul and it renews it, that you can choose spiritual truth. And you can live holy. When you were born again, you were made righteous. When you live it out through a renewed understanding, you can live in holiness.
Yeah.
Holiness is not talking about how you dress. Well, to some levels it is, but that's not what produces the holiness. It's not based on how you wear your hair, when you have drums in the church or not. Holiness is a life of living and walking in love. Amen.
Amen.
Supernatural love. And so, when you really get full of holiness, or really the Word, get full of love, it'll change how you speak, how you walk, where you go. Amen. Even how you dress to some level, there'll be a more of a modesty in your life. And so, God wants us to be those that become conformed to the Word versus conformed to the world.
Yes.
So, he says in verse 2, Habakkuk chapter 2, and the Lord answered me. How about that? And said, write the vision. And make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. In other words, God says, I'm giving you a word, Habakkuk. I need you to write it down. And everybody that reads this should run with it. Amen. Now, the rest of chapter 2 and really chapter 3 deal with aspects of the vision. But the summation of it is in verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God intends in the end times to bring his glory to the earth.
Yes.
Not just after the rapture, not just after, you know, tribulation and we come into the millennial reign of Christ. He wants to bring his glory to the earth now. Amen.
Amen.
Again, I'm reviewing very quickly the Isaiah chapter 60. Hold this spot, turn to Isaiah 60. To validate what we're talking about, and it helps to get it down in us. Isaiah chapter 60, are you there?
Amen.
Verse 1, arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Who's the thee?
Me.
Thee. It's neat that it rhymes, right? Thee and me. God's glory is coming upon His people. In fact, it says in Ephesians, He's coming back for a glorious bride. I believe we get to be part of the bride if we'll press in, right? Verse 2 of Isaiah 60. For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But His glory shall arise and be seen upon thee. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that what it says?
Yep.
So it says the glory is coming during a time of darkness and gross darkness on the earth. And again, we've covered this quite a bit, but darkness is just the absence of light. Maybe nobody's ever heard the gospel. Right? But gross darkness is when there's a sludge of demonic operation that people can hear the truth even when it's shown to them. Which is in the earth right now, which is in the United States right now. There's so many sources of truth out there, but there's such a demonic sludge people can't even recognize it when they see it. So they think this trans lifestyle is okay. You thought that God would approve of that. We've got preachers out there proclaiming God was gender neutral. Has it been in the news lately? Preachers proclaiming gender neutral. How ridiculous. God made them male and female, but He's so confused He can't remember which one is which. God has dementia in some people's minds, you follow me? But yet people believe that stuff. Why? Gross darkness. So, in the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years of peace after the tribulation, there'll be no gross darkness.
Okay.
I mean, the glory ought to be here when Satan's released for a short time. In heaven, in the eternal reign, even in the recreated earth, there'll be no gross darkness. That means the glory is coming at a time like today. Keep standing over that vent. I need to point it at my wife. We need to deflect her just to send the air on her. I told her she's hot so many years she believes it. And Mrs. Plaza. Anyway, God's bringing His glory on the end time church. Now go back to Habakkuk. We could read through the rest of Isaiah 60, but it's about your sons and daughters shall come from far. That's the harvest to be interested in that side. And even the wealth of the world coming to the church. That's in the rest of Isaiah 60. But in verse 3 of Habakkuk, chapter 2, it says, for the visions yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. This is the end. This is 2,000 years since Jesus was crucified. We're right there.
Yeah.
Somewhere between 2027 and 2033, we will reach 2,000 years since the crucifixion. 2 days of the time of the Gentiles, as scripturally refers to. We're at the end. At the end, it's just speaking, not lie. It's going to happen. And though it tarry, though it seems like it's running late, wait for it, because it will not tarry. It's going to be here. God's coming back for a church moving in the glory of God.
Yeah.
And again, we found out just because you're saved doesn't mean you'll carry the glory.
Right.
Because Revelation 19 says the wife of the Lamb, the bride, has made herself ready.
Yeah.
There's a group, a remnant of the church that's doing more than just trying to be nice and do some good deeds. Again, we've taken Christianity and turned it into just a natural operation. We've replaced living supernaturally, functioning in supernatural love, supernatural peace, supernatural gifts, miracles. We've replaced that with just trying to be a nice person. I just try to be a nice Christian and do some good deeds. That was never the assignment. Anybody can do that. Think for a minute. Did you ever meet a really nice person who was even benevolent, you know, kind and giving, who wasn't saved?
Yeah.
Yes. Some of the nicest people I ever met weren't Christians. We have buildings and stuff named after them. But they may not be in heaven. Because good deeds can't save you. Being nice can't save you. Anybody can be nice and do good deeds.
Yes.
But God's called us to live supernaturally. And now it has to transcend just trying to be a sweet Christian. It's got to be pursuing living supernaturally.
Yes.
So, the vision's for an appointed time, at the end it's going to speak, and I'll go tarry away for it, it's going to come. And verse 4, he tells the people who are to the glory and who are of the glory. Verse 4 of Habakkuk says, behold, he whose soul is lifted up is not upright in him. The one who elevates their mind. The soul is not the real you. It's just your mental capacity. You follow me? It's going to heaven with you. But the real you is spirit. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And who elevates their soul, they're thinking above God or the Word of God, the will of God, who thinks they know more than God, they're not going to carry the glory. Even the Christian who thinks all they have to do is try to be nice and to be sweet, help some people out now and then, in between cussing them out. Let's do that part in. It says, they have elevated their thinking, what they think Christianity should be, above what God says it should be. I'm going to give this example. I don't know if it's going to help or not. It just dropped in me. If God tells a Christian, I want you to go to church wearing blue, and they show up in pink because they think pink's better, they elevated their soul, their thinking, above what God told them to do. Do you follow me? And when God in the Word tells us to do the works of Christ, which are miraculous, to live above and never beneath, when He tells us to do the greater works, when He tells us we can operate in the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God, that we should have this relationship with God where we walk and talk with Him, and we just settle for just trying to be sweet, we elevated our soul above the Word of God. He says, even though they're saved, they can't carry the glory. It's not until they get to heaven. They won't carry it on earth. Because they think they know what God will want. Let me touch on that just for a minute. So many Christians don't live by what God's telling them or what's instructing or leading them into. Leading's a better way to put it. He's not telling us, He's leading most of the time. Drawing us. For a Christian to determine, they think they know what God would want them to do, versus seek God and find out what He wants them to do, is to elevate your soul above His will. And you really think you know what God would have you do? I learned a long time ago, God knows more than I do. As brilliant as sometimes we think we are, God knows more than us. He knows in from the beginning what we should be doing, what He wants us to accomplish. He's got a call on every person's life on earth. Saved or unsaved, there's a call. Just few step into it. I mean, you're called, few step into it. It says few are chosen, but it's your will whether you move into it or not. So, for us to decide, here's what I think God would have me do, is saying, I know as much as God. I can outthink God. I can think along with Him. Here's what He would have you do. Well, where did you come to? How did you come to that conclusion? Well, I just think if I was God, this is what I want me to, what would want me to do. Isn't it amazing? He gives us His Word. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us wise counsel, leadership even. And we think we know what God would have us do just out of our mental reasoning capacities. That's pride. In fact, another way to say he whose soul is lifted up is to say he who's in pride. Now we think pride is really, well, look at me what I did. You follow me? Look at me what I accomplished. Look at me how smart I am. And really, pride with God is you think you know more than Him. You don't need the Word. You don't need church. You don't need prayer. I don't think I have to go to church. Me and God have an understanding. You're in pride. Is this okay this morning? I'm not trying to rattle your chains. Well, I always probably am, but anyway. That's pride. But in verse 4, Habakkuk 2, 4, the second part, he says, but the just shall live by faith. The word just there means righteous. He says, the righteous that live by faith will carry the glory. Now, what's it mean, live by faith? We've been looking at this for several weeks. It means you find out in the Word what God's promised, and you access it. Versus just try to survive. I've discovered in God's Word, He says, I can be healed from every sickness and every disease. We should pursue it. In fact, it says in the Word, we should live like Jesus. Was Jesus ever sick?
No.
Nope. It says in His Word, He wants to multiply our seed sown. Is that in the Word? In fact, He says, I know this makes some people nervous, but Deuteronomy 8:18, God says to Israel, which includes us, I've given you power to get wealth, that I might establish my covenant with you. Amen? Power to get wealth. What's the power to get wealth? The multiplying power of the seed we sow. The power of God on it. And God said, I want you to become wealthy. Well, are you there? No. I'm still driving some old vehicles. But I'm debt free, praise God. But I'm pursuing it. I'm continuing to sow seed and believe God to multiply. And He wants a church in the end times that's walking with no lack. Amen. No shortages. But you can pursue it by faith. Yet we as a church, for most of the Christianity, have settled for just trying to be nice and survive life. And only call upon God when we're desperate. Oh God, I need help here. God, I'm praying for this here. Oh God, please move. Versus find the promises of God, claim them, connect to them by faith, and work your faith until you see them manifest. Living by faith. And to live, the word live there is more than just live and breathe. It means the fullness of the God kind of life.
Yeah.
In the Greek, right? And in the Hebrew, both. That you have no problems at all weighing you down. Fullness of every area of your life being manifested by faith. Now see, I'm still in the introduction. God's called us to be people that live by faith.
Amen.
And this morning I was studying, going through some notes, and I ran across something. And I discovered the last service I used the chalkboard on before we left the old building. It's been almost 2 years ago.
Yes, sir.
16 months, right?
Longer than that.
A little over 16 months. And the notes are on the chalkboard. Have you remember some graphs up here and such were on the chalkboard before? We're not going through all that today. But I ran across the notes for that message and I thought that is so applicable for where we're at right now.
Amen.
And I believe it's a launching pad for where we want to go. Amen. And the message is called Living a Nonlinear Life. I felt something on that. Jesus. A nonlinear life as a Christian. I'm going to draw a graph up here. If you don't like math, just follow what I'm saying versus what the graph looks like. If I call this the y-axis, we're going to call this growth. Spiritual growth. Do you see that? We'll call this the x-axis. This is time. Does anybody believe we should be growing as a Christian, going from faith to faith and glory to glory?
Yes.
People are programmed. We're built in the natural to expect tomorrow to be like today. How many think maybe tomorrow you want to eat something?
Yeah.
Maybe brush your teeth, please. There's things you expect tomorrow to be like today. The sun will come up tomorrow. We'll skip that. And so, graphically, some nice markers if I can get them out. If you start at a certain time, this would be, actually that's way too steep. We expect some slight growth in our life every day. Let's take going to school, for example. When you went to school, say you first started, they taught you your numbers. Maybe you knew ahead of time you had a head start. They taught you to count to 10. Then what did you learn to count to? 20, maybe 100. Once you got 100, you can add, you learn the methodology. 110, 120, 200, 210. You learned that. You follow me? Then they taught you how to add and subtract, and later multiply and divide. They started to teach you fractions. You went all the way through school learning different levels of math. Maybe you got into graduate school, you learned high levels of calculus, whatever. Maybe you learned some quantum physics, like Charles did. Charles, here's one. Yeah, Charles. I mean, he's our math wizard. But you expect, as you're learning, every day there'll be an incremental change. Now, other than Charles, how many here in first grade learned to count, and the next day they were doing algebra? Charles was doing algebra before we could talk. Anybody here besides Charles was counting in first grade and then say the next day you're doing algebra? Some of you still don't do algebra. Heads are shaking all over the place. How do you live without algebra? I haven't figured that out. What's the point?
That's right.
So, let's say here was, we'll call this year one, or grade one. We'll call this grade nine. Maybe that's algebra. In all these years, 9 years or 8 years or whatever, you went from counting to learning algebra. It took you 8 years. And in another 8 years, maybe now you're doing some really high-level stuff, 18 years of school, getting out of college, whatever. You do some high-level math. But as every day you're adding part to it, do you follow me? That's linear development. Linear means line, a straight line. And that's meaning you expect the growth of tomorrow to be like the growth you experienced today. A little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And God never called us to be linear developers, linearly developed. Another curve would be an exponential curve. And in an exponential curve, you may run at a certain level for a while, but then that curve is going to make an upswing. And it's going to rise faster and faster and faster. And God says He's coming back for a glorious bride. In fact, I believe He's coming back very soon. Does anybody believe that?
Yes.
And when I look at what's prophesied in the word that the church is going to do, here's some of the things. We're going to manifest the glory of God. We're going to bring God in God's harvest. Oh, let's write some of this down. Manifest glory. If I could spell. We're going to bring in harvest. If you can read this or not, do it this way. How many believe God wants to harvest the earth? Your sons and daughters coming from far. How about this one? Bankrupt. The devil. God says the wealth of the sinners laid up for the righteous. It's for the end times. I believe it's part of His plan, because he that has the gold makes the rules. That's the world's golden rule. God intends to take the wealth of the wicked, turn it over to the hands of the righteous. Proverbs 13:22. And we put the devil under our feet financially. A lot of wars are fought more financially than they are militarily. We're going to bankrupt the devil. I believe we're going to come to the place, we empty hospitals and asylums. I forgot how to spell it. Close enough. Couldn't merge two S's or one. I believe there's going to be so much power on us. We'll walk into hospitals and see whole wings emptied out. Just walking room to room. Anybody believe that?
Yes.
So a movie, it's kind of stupid to me now, but when we watched it back in the 70s, we thought it was awesome. It was called Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
Eastbound down, loaded up in front, right? And they said, we have a long way to go and a short time to get there. And when I see how little time we have, and again, I think we have maybe 7 years left at most. That's just my math. That's not me predicting the rapture. It's me just mathematically calculating sections of time. It's short time. And all we have to do, and much more before we get there, is we don't have time for linear growth. I got some charts. We're not going to cover today about the pursuit of the church reaching what I call the bride point, the rapture point, actually. And if our spiritual growth level, let's say here, here's the bride level. Now, we have to grow spiritually. Can everybody follow this graph okay? Say, here's how much we have to grow to be the bride to carry the glory to see all this happen. At this rate on this line, it's going to be 3,407 before we get there. Just throwing out a number. We don't have 1,000 years. We don't have time for day-to-day incremental growth. God's looking for a people with a heart to pursue and to be all in. What are our 3 steps to the glory? What are the 3 steps?
Holiness.
All in. Praise and all in. A people that will live the Word. In other words, you're not just trying to look like the world. You are a people of thankfulness and praise. And you're all in your efforts to pursue God. And so, God's going to take a group of people that are not expected to go day to day to day. A little bit of growth. They're saying, God, fill me right now. Overflow me right now. That He can do a miracle work within them. That their understanding, the power they carry, the glory they carry, it's exponential. It's not straight line. It just takes off. And every day, instead of being a little bit of increment, every day is more than it was the day before. The growth level. That we are just moving at full accelerated potential. Do you follow me? Now let me explain this. Without taking time to go to the verses, we'll just quote. Occasionally I'll quote a verse of Scripture. In Acts chapter 2, the disciples are already born again. They got born again the day Jesus rose from the dead. He breathed on them. Said, receive you the Spirit. They were born again that day.
Yes, amen.
But they're not the church yet. They really are. They're gathered together, 120 are in a room, praying together, seeking God. So there's somewhat of a foundation of the church, but it's not exploded yet. And in one day, there was a sound like a rushing mighty wind. Filled all the house where they were sitting. Amen. And they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God gave them utterance. And the Spirit of God brought forth an outpouring on one day. And in one day, they went from 120 to 3,120. And within a week, there are over 8,000 believers. 8,000 people in a week. How many know that's not incremental? I mean, it took Jesus 3.5 years ago from 12 to 120. They went from 120 to over 8,000 a week. That's exponential growth. Exponential explosion. And God's looking for a people that can believe for outpourings, for releases, for connections with God, for revelation that your tomorrow doesn't look like today. Ask you a question. How many here in the past month have led 20 people to Jesus? I'm not condemning you, I'm making a point. What if something hit you today that tomorrow you led 500 to Jesus? Everyone would say, Jesus loves you. Oh, what can I do to get saved? The Spirit of God is capable of doing that. I know that because it's been on me before. The supernatural love of God, the agape of God that comes on you tangibly is such a powerful harvest magnet. People can't resist but getting saved just by you being around them. One night I led 5 people to the Lord in 45 minutes, just like one I'm talking to them. But love had come on me. It's coming on all of us. What if, how many here in the past month have led, let's say, raised 10 people from the dead? 5? 2? I mean, Jennifer raised a horse. I guess it wasn't totally dead, but it was at the point, right? What if today you went out, somebody died, and you raised them up? And somebody said, well, can you pray for my family? And next thing you know, in that one day you raised 10 people from the dead. And the newspapers come out and cover it, and it's undeniable. What is going to happen to your harvest potential? And what if such in one day such an anointing comes on you to raise the dead that you can put the funeral homes out of business in your region? Now, if they're old, let them go. I've got some of these churches commanding me, if I go, do not let Pastor Jack around me. So I'm ready to go. If I'm gone, don't raise me back up. I'll be in heaven.
That's right.
You've heard of Smith Wigglesworth.
Yeah.
Smith Wigglesworth's wife died on him. He raised her off the deathbed, raised her up. She says, Smith, what are you doing? It's my time. Let me go. I was with Jesus. In fact, the story is she's up in heaven with Jesus, talking to Jesus, and Jesus tells her, son, you've got to go back. No. You have to go back. Why? Smith won't let you stay here. So he calls her back. She chews him out for doing it. But what if we're raising all the young people?
Amen.
Which to me is at least under 90.
Yeah.
That's my story. I'm sticking with it. Raising all the people from the dead in one day, guess what's going to happen to the church? You're going to see a harvest coming in. At least interest. But the love of God's what's really going to do it. What I'm getting at is, we've got to get to the place, we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. We expect this to happen.
Yes.
Amen.
Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Is this okay with you?
Yes.
Now again, what I'm getting at, this is the last message I taught on this board before we left the other building. And we just erased the notes here a week or so ago.
Yeah, we did.
Well, for Robert's memorial, we erased the notes that were still up there on the back of the board. Ephesians chapter 3, are you there?
Yeah.
Wait for me. Let's go to verse number 20. This is all good. But verse 20, now unto him, let's talk about Jesus, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And then be glory in the church. There's the glory by Christ Jesus. Exceeding abundantly above. Now you have to understand in the Greek, when you add adjectives, it multiplies their effect. You go from additive to exponential. Multiplicative. Exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. I'd be thinking of a lot. But the Bible tells us no eye has seen. Amen. No ears heard the things God's prepared for those that love Him. We can't even comprehend what God has in mind. Even with the Word, there's more than we can comprehend. God's doing an exponential work in the end times that you won't even believe what you're seeing. I have to pinch myself in this building sometimes. Well, we went from a rental, look, we have now.
Amen.
And Frosty's still pinching himself from that basement saying, I didn't see it, but I see it now. But the renovations that we're making, because it's transforming the building, I believe. Exceeding abundantly above. But that's nothing. That's nothing. What if we get going and God one day says, hey, I've decided to give you this building and the pavilion. And anything you need to renovate, whatever you need. Not only that, I've called your whole church, all members of it, several members would be the city council, the mayor, the governor. I mean, not if God brings them in, he just makes you governor. I was president here in the vision here back in January, remember that? God gave me a dream of being president. And that's a whole different story. But President Trump is chewing me out. I took his job. A long way to go, a short time to get there. And we got to get to the place when we come in, we worship God, we praise. We're praising God because you're about to do something we can't even comprehend. We can't even imagine it. That our expectation is to go, you know, not just a little bit, but a lot. Here's an example, just a small one. I set a schedule for what I needed to do by the women's conference, by healing of the hearts. We've already done that and more. And half the time. Well, it's been six. Been 5 weeks. We've done everything there plus. And see more we can get done. Above what I was asking or thinking. But we're talking about exceeding. I want to read this out of the message. I've got it up here. Listen to what it says in the message, verse 20. It says, let's see here. Got to find the right place to start. Oh. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah and Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all the millennia. Oh yes. That's the message version of that. God has a plan for the end times beyond what we could ever imagine.
Amen.
Even when Stephen was stoned,
yeah.
Church looked like it was doing well, but persecution rose. And they stoned Stephen to death. Paul's holding the coats yearly. It says, according to tradition, he had to throw the first stones. The first stone. He's a part of it. Who becomes Paul later? I say to the disciples, that was deceiving him, but Paul got saved. But the devil thought he was really shutting things out. All it did was scatter the witnesses throughout the world. And the church spread worldwide through that stoning. Whatever the devil does to try to stop us, God will turn it into an exponential opportunity.
Yes.
It went from Jerusalem to all the regions about, taking off. I'm telling you, I am convinced God wants to do that in this church. right now, how can I say this? We've not maxed out this building. But I see right now, very soon, we're going to max out this floor, that floor, running multiple services. We still can't hold them all. We've now been a church in Georgetown. I forgot to celebrate 25 years in May. We've been in Georgetown Central Church 25 years. And we need to celebrate that. We've not seen it yet. I know, because you're looking at the past. You're looking at the past 25 years trying to predict tomorrow based on the past. There has to be days that God moves in an exponential fashion. Think about Israel. Servants in Egypt. Moses said, "Go and set my people free." And through a series of plagues, even the death of the firstborn, they go from servants, slaves in Egypt, to liberated, and they spoiled Egypt. Through the 430 years of slavery, it says they built treasure cities in Egypt. They're named in chapter 1. Treasure cities. And when Israel left Egypt, it says they spoiled the Egyptians. They emptied those treasure cities of everything they could carry. I'm telling you, God's about to do a work if we'll believe Him. Be all in moving towards it. You won't believe your life in a year from now compared to what it is today. I said a year just to give you some time. It may be in a week. It could be healing of the hearts is a big turnaround moment. But God's about to do some stuff to release if you'll believe for it. Say, "God, use me supernaturally. I want your giftings." It says in 1 Corinthians 13, "Desire earnestly the best gifts." Or chapter 12, actually. The best gifts. Ask God for the gifts. Ask Him to give you the wealth of the wicked. Sow the seed and believe for increase on it. We keep sowing and sowing and really not putting a demand on it. Without a vision, the people perish. In other words, they don't step into what God has. You got to see it and place a demand on it. Amen? I mean, we went through here a few weeks ago all the miracles God did bring us into this building. Miracle after miracle. Even finding the original cross of the building up in there. And everything is taking place. I mentioned this last week. I had an estimate of putting air conditioning in here, just the venting, about $10,000. Counting the two new vents I just got in, we're doing it for $700. And it's going in quick. Just God's hand here. And I'm seeing it every day. I'm seeing God just show me shortcuts. Tuesday night, if you're not coming Tuesday night, I really wish you could come Tuesday nights. We started a series called Victory in Jesus. It's all based on the we win mentality. We can get a we win mentality, no devil in hell can stop us. We put Murphy under our feet. Murphy's Law, we put him under our feet. If you can't come, get a hold of the messages online. But God's looking for a we win mentality church to bring His glory to, that's expecting to live a non-linear life. When I first got saved, I know I'm going over time. Y'all bear with me. There's no such thing as over time. We're in a timeless realm. Don't get nervous in the service. We ain't got the spears into it. A we-win mentality. What was all this? 42 years ago, I got saved. Started reading the Word, and I saw miracles with Jesus, and I was supposed to do the same thing. And I started claiming way back then, I will raise the dead. I will lay hands on the sick, and I will recover. Do you follow me? I will function in the gifts. I started claiming it, declaring it. Who was I? I wasn't raised in church. know nothing about Christianity, but I will do these things. I will do these things. And because of the declaration, that expectation, every person that's ever died in front of me, I raised from the dead. Both of them. Been used in it. You follow me? You just made it. If you'll start claiming now non-linear advancement, claim the gifts. Pursue them. Claim relationship. Claim visions and revelation. Claim it. Declare it. Say, I am non-linear. Repeat it to me. I am non-linear. My tomorrow will be much more advanced than yesterday. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Watch what God does. Did you get anything out of this? So, Father, we thank you for your word. Seat it within our hearts, our minds, our understanding. Cause to be people of expectation of great increase. I declare in this church there are none sick. We decree none in pain, none in lack, none oppressed, none in fear. And there in this church there is zero strife or competition. We thank you for it, for divine encounters and appointments all week, and we move into exponential spiritual growth. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen.